Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinich.
Hello, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are talking about hypersexuality and what we can do about it naturally. The reason I say that is because hypersexuality has, in the last little while, been linked a lot to ADHD. And a lot of times with ADHD, the first go-to is medication. And I can understand, and there are cases where that is going to be beneficial, but I also do know from my own experience and from the experience of many people that I've worked with, that if we can identify triggers and we can identify certain things that are going on, we can navigate it a little differently. So we're going to be learning all about that today. So if you're wondering, is this show even for you? Just kind of like check in with yourself. Like, have you ever had the feeling of just out of the blue, like a deep need to just have a sexual release, and like you'd even do it somewhere where it's like public, you don't care, the energy's strong and you just have to get it out of your system? Or you'll like screw anything and anyone because you just got to get that energy moving. That is kind of like the energy that I had with when I was kind of in the groove of, we'll call it the hypersexual groove. And it was super intense. Like sometimes it was just, and there was not just an intense energy in the body, but also like an intense desire to have to fulfill it. So I was never, by the way, I was never diagnosed hypersexual. I can just kind of observe in my life where I have had times where I had definitely a lot of behaviors that appear that way. So I'm not claiming to be hypersexual, and I'm also not diagnosed that way, but I want to give you guys information on this. And the people who come to me who have similar behaviors, again, I can't clinically diagnose people for that. However, if you've had those kind of inclinations, if you need a diagnosis in your life, you can go get a diagnosis. And if you're just like, I have these tendencies and I want to know how to take care of that, because that could be sabotaging things. Like it could be sabotaging relationships, your life, your livelihood. Mine never went that extreme, thank goodness, because as much as I can have these habits, I also am very aware that I could easily become addicted to many things. So even things like alcohol, I try and like avoid a lot of the things that I could be highly addicted to, or I find like a way to be able to navigate it so that I can have it in my life without going to extremes with it. Because I could also easily become an overeater. You know, some people might be like, it's all part of your natal chart and astrology, or it's all part of, and yes, and it could be. And I value that information too. Yes, it could be. It could be who I am. It could be how I was raised. It could be a lot of things. So the truth is, it could just be who I am, right? That I could easily have addictive tendencies. So I've known that since I was pretty young. And so I keep like a watch on that. Yay me. So what I have done since I was really young was I've gone to different therapies for years and years and years. I started when I was, well, actually, I kind of started briefly when I was about 17, but I didn't go regularly. And then I really started going regularly when I was about 22, until probably the age of 36, something like that. And then I did a whole bunch of other things and courses and workshops and all of that too, going on while I was still going to therapy. So I've done like things like Gestalt therapy. I've gone to regular therapists. I've done hypnotherapy, dance therapy, art therapy. I don't know, you name it. I've probably tried it because I try stuff and I like want to keep trying it. So Oh, therapy. Good stuff. Gave me a lot of tools. It also gave me a lot of background to know what do I want to study? How do I want to approach life? And what do I want to offer people? So in today's show, we're going to be looking at a lot of things to do with triggers. And oh, I also want to like let you guys know why on earth I'm here. Who am I, right? So it's like, oh, who are you even? Like, what qualifies you? So my name is Milica Jelinic, and for over the last 11 years, I have been the host of the Pleasure Zone. I don't believe there was a host of a Pleasure Zone before me, although I've seen many Pleasure Zone things show up since this show came out. I did not it did not sue them, so there you go. Anyway, so the Pleasure Zone has been around for 11 years, and I've been around longer than that. And I work with people every day as a holistic health practitioner and sex and intimacy coach. So I work with people to help them particularly get out of trauma and into a more pleasurable life. And whether that is through different modalities that I do, whether that's through talking, whether that's through offering different solutions with different remedies, it can vary. And that's what I'm here for. So when I'm talking about how do we navigate these things naturally, these are things I'm going to offer you. A lot of the things I'm offering you are ideas that you can do for you, solitary or with like friends or people that maybe are going through similar things with you, like group structured therapy kind of situations. So a lot of the things are affordable, is what I want to say. There are lots of solutions too that you could do that. You could invest a lot of money in, but the truth of it is it comes down to you being able to observe you. And when you can do that, and then you can make new choices about how you respond and how you are and how you choose to be in the world, essentially, that's key. Sometimes we got to retrain our brains because our brains have looped so much that we have ongoing belief systems that just stay there. So yeah, if that's something that you want to be able to figure out, this is the show for you. We're going to look at identifying and managing the triggers of hypersexuality. And we are going to look at some of the internal triggers, external triggers, and we're going to look at how we can create some healthy coping mechanisms. And then we're also going to look at how, if you do choose to go for professional guidance, how, who and what to go to do that. So yeah, so I think let's just get really simple on like what is hypersexuality? So we have sexuality that's like an expression of how we express ourselves sexually, with, generally that means like copulation of sorts, sexual behavior, And then hypersexuality is like on overdrive, so excessive. And some people might have called it before sex addict or sex addiction, that sort of thing. They do kind of fall into a similar category, but we're not here to like, again, we're not here to give anybody a label or anything like that. So it's just to give you some ideas. I would think that the one thing to look at mainly to me with hypersexuality is, do you find that you're utilizing sex mostly to satiate something that you feel is lacking? So whether it's a sense of peace and calm in your body, whether it's a sense of connection, are you using it for something, but then you don't necessarily feel fulfilled for long term? It's more of like a short term thing where then you have to go back to it to see if you can fulfill that again. So you might find that reads for you. So one of the reasons why I think, this show is important is that I think we're looking for solutions. Well, first we're looking for labels. We don't necessarily need labels always. Sometimes we just need to find solutions to what's not working for us. So if something's not working for you, like having sex with 100 people in a month is not working for you, maybe you've gotten an STD, maybe it's making you more depressed, maybe it's creating more hypersexuality as a result to try and remedy whatever was going on in the first place. I think the key is to not medicate that out of you, to just say, okay, we're going to just give you something so that you stop this altogether. Although in some cases, yes, it can be important, but I think it's important to also look at what is it that started this in the first place. So if it is something where you feel that you are, you know, just randomly having sex with people because you don't really know what else to do, you're bored or, you know, feeling disconnected, anxiety, something like that, and you're using it as a way to regulate your nervous system, then let's look at other options, because there are so many options for regulating your nervous system. And one of the easiest, fastest, and cheapest is meditation. And whether you are doing meditation that is like guided meditation, or you're doing, you know, there's so many kinds of meditation. So you could be doing breath work, you could be doing chanting, you could be doing meditation that is like trying to go Zen and have nothingness. You could also be doing mindfulness. You could be doing practices where, like guided meditation. So many choices, guys. So, and you can find apps that already have a lot of either free, like on, for example, on Spotify, there are like free meditations that you can download, even on the free app, I believe. So yeah, there are options out there that are literally free. There are YouTube channels with free videos on how to meditate. So why do we start with this route? Because sometimes just learning how to be centered and grounded and knowing how to do that when you've been triggered can be really, really helpful. And some people choose that non-medicated route because they don't want to be dependent on the medications for the rest of their life. Sometimes in certain medications, you might have adverse reactions. And so we need to look at options beyond medications, because medications aren't always the solution. And I'm not saying they're never the solution. I'm saying they're not always the solution. I actually grew up in a family that has a medical background. So I'm not against medicine. I'm 100% for, actually, if we could have integrated medicine where doctors and naturopaths, nutritionists, and healers got together, I think that would be an ideal situation. We are not Germany, where that has happened in the past, and I don't know if that's still happening in Germany, but that did happen. We're not that. So in Canada anyway, and in the US, and if we were, that would be incredible. But right now it's very polarized, and there's very polarizing opinions on things, so might not come in my lifetime. Anyhow, what I feel like we need to do is look at what is the underlying situation that's triggering the hypersexual response in the body, that your body is feeling compelled to go and just have sex with any rando out there. So my thought is, we're not trying to avoid it. We're not trying to like, oh, I feel that sexual urge. Don't feel it. Don't feel it. I want you to be able to see that urge coming up. And how fun would it be to be able to take that and transmute it, transform it into something that maybe is productive? It could be business oriented. It could generate you money. It could generate health for you. It could generate new connections in a way that their relationships are sustainable. There are so many things that this could offer you, because it's a big energy. Sexual energy is a big energy. It creates life. So how can we utilize that energy to be able to create so much more? And we can. It's quite a magical thing, I would, you know, I say, as people who have been longtime listeners of this show, I'm all about utilizing sex for creation of not just babies, but sex for creation in general. It's a creative force, so let's create with it, and we can utilize it in different ways and transmute that energy into many things. So before we head to our first commercial break, if you're feeling like a little anxious and you're like, I just want to get off, listen to this show and go have sex with some rando. Okay, take some deep breaths, guys. In through your nose for 5, out through your mouth. This is also a very quick way to calm your nervous system down. So in through your nose, out through your mouth. A bunch of in through your nose for 5, out through your mouth for 5. will start to get that regulated breathing and get your body to just come back to a place of calm. There's so many different kinds of breath work, but let's start with the five and five. In for five, out for five. Keep doing that while we head to commercial break. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspire Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about hypersexuality, and we're looking at some natural ways to be able to create resolution for some of the sexual urges that you might be experiencing or feeling like, oh, I need to take care of this right now. So we're navigating hypersexuality naturally. And one of the first things we need to do is be able to figure out, is this behavior like a hypersexual behavior? It's not necessarily about getting yourself diagnosed, although you may, if you are at the place where it's excessive, it's taking over your life, you're finding that it's interfering with work, maybe you've got fired because you're so hypersexual, you're like having, you know, you're masturbating in the back of your work, or maybe you're doing things inappropriately with coworkers at work, who knows? I don't know. I'm just bringing up ideas. So if you were in that kind of hypersexual state and it's creating issues in your life and it's, you know, drawing in things like sexual experiences that you don't necessarily even desire to have, but you feel compelled to have, that would be, it's kind of like the same as compelled to drink. It's an addiction. So at that kind of extreme place, it's really good to seek professional help, which we'll talk about in one of the later segments of the show. But in the meantime, if you're starting to notice that your body, you're using your body in a sexual way in order to be able to regulate your nervous system, then we need to look at what some of the things are, what some of the triggers are that are creating that. Also, we're not going to make that wrong, because there is a place and a time that if it's not interfering in your life or your livelihood or your health or your relationships, and you're using a sexual release, whether it's through masturbation or sex with your partner as a release to help regulate your system, that as long as, you know, if you're doing it on your own and you're fully aware that it's like, whoa, I feel stressed, I'm doing this to relieve stress, cool. I'm all about consciousness and knowing, like, what is it that I'm choosing this for? And then when you know, you're coming from a place of awareness rather than just a place of being unconscious and compelled, right? Where you don't even feel like you have a way to stop yourself. You just feel like you can't stop yourself. So Yeah, we're talking about hypersexuality. And hypersexuality, I kind of gave you guys a loose description of hypersexuality. And when we look at like a definition of hypersexuality in Wikipedia, for example, hypersexuality is a proposed medical condition said to cause unwanted or excessive sexual arousal, causing people to engage in or think about sexual activity. So if you're thinking about sex all the time as well, and it's interfering with your life, your livelihood, your health, and your relationships, and you can't, your brain is looping and can't get out of that, that is also something that, could be interfering with your life. So it's helpful to be able to do some, brain training on that. Things like NLP, EFT, things that will break the pattern and help you get out of those patterns, those thinking patterns. There's also, yeah, so I mentioned EFT, NLP, but there's also like EMDR if it's caused by trauma. EMDR is amazing. If you guys aren't sure what those letters stand for, it's super easy. Like you can go Google those up. The show is not about those processes, those methods. So I'm not going to get deep into those. We are going to talk about, though, how we can identify as individuals looking at our own lives, doing self-observation. How do we know what is causing this to happen? Like, why are we choosing these behaviors? Why are you choosing this behavior? Why was I choosing those kinds of behaviors? So let's look at internal triggers, number one. Let's go inside. Are you bored? Are you finding that your life is redundant and you're like, blah, blah, blah? I do the same thing day in, day out. I am so bored. I don't even know how to, I don't even know how to have fun anymore. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to just have sex with randos constantly. And in doing that and having sex with randos, maybe I'll stop being bored. But you know what? The boredom comes back because that will only fulfill you for so long. So finding fulfillment in something that's truly bigger, genuine, something lasting. We've had episodes on this show talking about, how to center your life on something that is lasting. Do you have a life that's centered around your spiritual beliefs? Because if you do, then that is a really centered life. And that is a life where you have something to fall back on that you can rely on, where if you rely on your life on something that's transient, like another human being or something that, will die off, which we die off too, in these bodies. So if it's something that, if you put all your attention and love on like a pet or on your home or your work, or that stuff will all go away at some point, whether it's because you leave it or because it leaves you, it will all change in this life. So, are you bored? Is that why you're choosing to go out and have sex with randos? Are you lonely? Are you so lonely that you actually don't feel like you connect with anyone? Maybe you don't feel like you have any real, true friends that you can have conversations with. Maybe you feel like the only way to feel that you're attractive or desired is to have sex with randos. But the thing is, that in the truth of it is, you're probably just being used. Either you're using them or they're using you, but there's user stuff going on. And, if that's something that you are fine with for now, like, because eventually at some point being used is going to get boring. It's also going to become something where when you start to value yourself, being used is no longer fun. And you will probably want to start to become more empowered rather than being used. Are you feeling a lot of anxiety and needing to switch up the energy too? Sometimes anxiety is hyper awareness, aware of so many things, and your body might actually feel so overstimulated that it needs something to focus on. And masturbation and sex is something that you can actually bring focus. So, if that is something you're doing, again, it can be a release and it can be a relief and it can help you get grounded and focused. At the same time, you got to just check. Is it interfering with your life, your livelihood, your health, or your relationships? And if it is, then that's something to evaluate, because as long as your behaviors are not interfering with those things, then, you know, then they're not extreme necessarily, and you're just using them as a temporary outlet, right? So anxiety, and when I had anxiety for years and years and years, I had anxiety. I don't know if I ever told you guys that, but back in the day, I used to do a lot of psychic readings for large groups. Like I would be at events that were held by corporations. I was in a big city and they would have parties, and I would be one of, you know, sometimes there's like a group of us that would get hired to go and do readings. And every single time for like the 5 or 6 years where I was doing this on a regular basis, my body would go into absolute terror. My mind would go into all kinds of thoughts. And I never called it anxiety. I just thought I was losing my mind and dying. And I'd even gone to university. I studied psychology, but I was like, that's not me. I'm not anxious. This only happens on occasion. It's not performance, because I'm not getting on stage. Like I had all these justifications. I'm not the person with anxiety. And then it dawned on me one day when somebody actually witnessed it in me, and it was my mom, and it freaked her out so much that she like laughed. And I was like, I can't believe you're laughing at me. I'm dying. And then she was like, no, she wasn't like, she was more laughing at a discomfort. And she's like, I had no idea that you went through this, because she hadn't seen me go through that before. I was living on my own. And then at one point I went to live with her because I was pregnant and I kind of needed a house, because everything in my life had changed. It was chaos. So I'm there with anxiety, like curled up in a corner, ready to die. My solutions were not masturbation at the time. My solutions were cry. And I would just like cry and cry. And then what got me out of that was I had to pay bills. And I was like, I got to go to this no matter what. I got to pay my rent. I had car repairs all the time. And eventually I got rid of that dumb car because it was falling apart constantly. Got rid of the car. Ended up getting rid of the job too, that I needed to do all these, you know, readings for in order to pay all these bills. And then I surrendered everything, moved in with my mom. I was pregnant. And then I had this one event that I had pre-booked before I moved in with my mom. And the anxiety was so high. And for like 10 hours before the event, curled in a corner. And I had never even told my therapists. For over 10 years, I was going to therapy at that point. I told no one. I just thought this is just, it only happens when I go to do readings, whatever. It's not a big deal. And then when it would happen, it was a massive deal. And I didn't even wrap my head around it. Then I went to, my mom was like, I think you need to go see this woman I know who is a hypnotherapist. So I did that for a few years, and it did help to be able to help me function more. And then I actually just started, I started working with some other methods that helped me become aware that I was really freaking aware of what was going on with the people that I was about to read, that didn't even know I was about to read them. But, you know, the energies are all there and everything's timey-wimey, especially if you're into Doctor Who, it's all timey-wimey. And we don't really know what's going on, where, or when. So I was feeling, what I became aware of was that I was feeling the anxiety of what they were feeling that I would say to them when they would go and have a reading with me. Because they knew there were going to be readers at these events. And when I started to realize that that was theirs and not mine, 95% of it, then the other 5%, I was like, what's this about? And that was some other lifetime stuff. That was like, oh, remember that time, you know, that happened to you? Or And then, okay, if you don't believe in other lifetimes, it was like stuff that had happened in this lifetime as well, where I'd had people literally walk up to me and tell me I was going to hell for what I was doing. That's the beauty of righteous religious people, and not just righteous religious Christians, but righteous religious, many religions. I had many events at different places and different situations that were in all different religious settings. And yeah, I had several people tell me I was going to hell. And because of the way I was brought up, like, I think there was a percentage of me that actually believed that. And then now I don't. But that was like a big belief system to have to navigate and realize that, holy Hannah, like most of that was not even mine. And the stuff that was stuff that I was aware of from this life was so out there. I'm bringing that up because anxiety and stress, those internal triggers, can be big. And sometimes we don't know where they come from. And sometimes we hide them from ourselves for years and years and years. And like I was saying, I didn't actually use sex as a release then. I cried. Had I maybe masturbated my way out of that, it might have been helpful. But I was kind of like in the frozen state. I was like way in parasympathetic overdrive. I was not functional. And so my body wasn't even interested in that whatsoever when that would happen. That's a lot about me, guys. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about external triggers. And then we're going to move on to developing some healthy coping mechanisms when we come back. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network. And we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we are looking at how to navigating hypersexuality naturally. So how to do that without getting medicated. And we talked about in this last segment about how to identify internal triggers. And I went on a bit of a rant about my own self there for a bit. But just to give you guys an example, like I just want to let you know, like I had situational like anxiety, certain things were setting me off. It did take me a while to put two and two together to realize that it was happening every time I went to one of these events. And then when I finally had awareness on that, I was like, oh, phew. And I think it also helped being witnessed in that. Like I couldn't hide it anymore. So I needed to deal with it because I was, yeah, hiding it from myself, hiding it from all my therapists. So cute. I'm so cute. And that was so how that affected me and my livelihood was that, that anxiety was having me not step into doing the work, even like the work I do now, right? I wouldn't have been able to do this show. Not in a million years could I be able to get on a video, talk to you guys about things personal about me. No, that wouldn't have happened. So being able to figure that out was incredibly helpful for my whole existence right now. So me avoiding looking at that was causing like not only massive stress for me, but it was stopping me from having the life and then being able to offer what I offer as all the work that I do with people. So is something that you're hiding from you, from your own self, like whatever it is that's triggering your anxiety, like when that anxious energy comes up, what precedes that? What's going on in your head? Is that even yours? Like I was saying, I became aware that it was like so much of other people's worries, projections that I was picking up on. I was like, whoa, I had no idea I was so aware that I was so aware. You might be really aware. And so being able to know what that is helpful. Let's look at some external triggers too, because I want you guys to know that it's not always internal. Sometimes it is external stuff. Your body might go into like overstimulation. It could be from noises. It can be smells. Any of your senses could be on overdrive. So lighting can send people into overstimulation. Same with sounds, smells, touch, it, all kinds of things. Taste can send people also into a state of being overly stimulated. And then as a result, what often happens is the desire to be able to bring your body to calm, be able to reset your nervous system, often the go-to because it's super easy. And most of the time as kids, you know, kids do this all the time, is stimulate your genitals. Kids do it all the time. I don't know if you've ever been in a kindergarten or you've ever been to a playground, especially a playground with a water park, because man, 90% of the kids in our area who go to the water park will stand there with their genitals on those water spray things for like 20 minutes. And it's calming their nervous system. Like the parents are pulling them away. And I'm just thinking like, these kids need an outlet. Like they're, you know, maybe it's not the appropriate place for that because you got perverts around who are maybe watching that. But, you know, if they're at home and they're doing that and they're just needing to calm their nervous system down, power to them. If it's, again, interfering in their life, their livelihood, their relationships, or their health, then not so much. So when we look at external triggers, like I said, you can be feeling overwhelmed, overburdened by a whole bunch of things environmentally. And then even like things that you can't see, like lots of people have sensitivity to EMFs and electrical stuff and even magnetic resonance. So, you know, you might not even know what you're feeling burdened by. So it takes some investigation and questioning, like, wow, what was that? Like, what just set me off there? Could be things that you're seeing in the media, like whether it's you're watching a lot of porn, and that's going to trigger a certain part of your brain, which that can lead to massive addiction. Porn addiction is real. I haven't done a show about that in a long time, so maybe that's one that's coming up. So we want to be able to see, is it something that's visually like coming up that's triggering you? And it might not even be porn per se. It might be other things that you could be like watching the news and the news is stressing you out, which then triggers you to go, I need to release this somehow. I'm going to go have sex with a rando. For those of you who are not familiar with the term the rando, I realize this might go into translations or something. That just means a person you don't know. It's like a random person that you haven't met. You'll probably never see again. One night stand kind of situation. I wonder how that translates into like Finnish, Russian, I don't know, Mongolian, like rando. How do you guys translate that? Curious. So how do you translate a rando? So external triggers are, any things that are outside of you, but they end up affecting you internally. So things like environments and visual things, that's going right in. Your body's taking that information in. It's processing it. It's affecting your nervous system. And then your nervous system is on overdrive, or it's gone beyond overdrive and now it's frozen because it's so stressed and anxiety's kicking in. So, depression and anxiety are there. So it's to get you to be able to find out what is that. And then either you can remove the stimulus, like if it's really loud noises, putting on headsets. If it's smells, maybe leaving that environment for some other space that doesn't have that smell. Whatever it happens to be that's the trigger, if it's something that you can either walk away from or change, do that. If you're in a situation where it's not something that you can walk away from or change, then one of the things that you can do is make note, right? So keep a journal on it so that when and if you do end up going to somebody who's a professional, you can bring all of this to their attention. Say, you know what, I've observed, I know this, 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 and this. I need some tools on how to navigate this. So external triggers like things changing. Maybe in your daily routine that might make you anxious. So then it's like, oh, off I go, hypersexual, gonna go have sex with somebody instead. Yeah, you didn't want to go to that movie with me. Well, I'm just gonna have sex with a rando. That kind of thing does happen. So being able to figure out what those are, becoming aware helps you to regain control of yourself. And then helps you to regulate your nervous system. And that's really the key is what's going on? Are you aware of what's going on? And then being able to regulate your nervous system without having to, go have sex with the, 900 people in the month, that's going to end up getting you definitely an STD if you're lucky, if nothing, like if nobody, goes beyond that and goes into violence of any kind. So you'd be lucky if all you got was like an STD out of that kind of situation. So for 1 week, start tracking these things. Like what is it that has you go, my solution is I'm going to go have sex with somebody I don't know, or I'm going to go use my partner for sex. I'm just going to get off on them. They're going to be my sex, whether it's my masturbation sleeve or my vibrator, they're just going to be my living sex toy. That's what I'm going to use people for. That's what it is. So you will know if you are being used as the masturbation sleeve or the walking vibrator, you'll know that that is what you're being used for because the disconnection is so huge and it's all about the person who needs to regulate their nervous system. It's all about them and not about you at all. So when you are aware of that, and if you're aware you're doing that and you want to change that, it's an interesting thing that occurs is like as you become consciously aware of how disconnected you are, you might become more interested in things that will get you deeply connected. You might be like, how do I get deeply connected? Oh, maybe I could learn Tantra. Maybe I could learn some things in the Kama Sutra to help me feel connected and utilize sex in a very spiritually connected way. It becomes then that curiosity can shift into sort of more of a healthy outlet. Unless, of course, you're using Tantra as something that is manipulation to get people in your bed. That happens too. It's like, oh yeah, I do Tantra, cum and blah, blah, blah. But they don't really, they're just lying about it. So, having a teacher studying, that's really helpful so that, if you do run into other people, you can question them about it, see if they validly practice so that you're not just, again, getting utilized as a sex toy or utilizing somebody as a sex toy because you're shifting the focus to conscious sex, like choosing it for a purpose, and consciously knowing what you're choosing it for, whether it's connection, creation, so many other reasons. And it can be for healing. So it could be for calming your nervous system, but know that when you're doing that, you're walking in with that conscious awareness that you're doing that, and your partner might be doing it too. And if you can both like acknowledge, you know what, I'm going through a lot of stress. Can we just have sex to be able to release some of this? And if they're like, yeah, okay, let's do that. Let's have this conversation. But if you just jump somebody and you're just using them for that, that's not cool. So know your external triggers, know what's getting you to want to act that way. And then just track your triggers, even if it's for a week. Just say, like, what is it that, oh, I'm frustrated. So now I want to go have sex with my partner. Or I'm frustrated, I'm going to go masturbate. But oh, I've missed my three appointments with people where they were like business appointments or something, because that will happen. I will literally have people not show, and I'm like, hey, I wonder what happened there. And sometimes I never hear from them again, and I think, oh, you were just off, diddling yourself or something. I don't know for sure, but there's always, like, addictions can get in the way and self-sabotage the situation frequently. So if you're self-sabotaging and you're using sex as a way to sabotage your life, chances are you might need some assistance with that. So we're going to head to our next commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. So today we're talking about how to navigate hypersexuality naturally. And one of the things we can do is, we talked about some of the situations, the internal and external triggers in the last section. Also talked about creating a an understanding of what the triggers are, so you can, like, track your triggers, trigger tracking for a week. And then now we need to look at, how do you develop some coping mechanisms? What can you do on a daily basis to help you cope? I think one of my favorite things to do is energy work in general. Move the energy. Energy can be transmuted. I mean, it's helpful to have somebody train you so that you know some of the ins and outs and safeguards to use when you're doing energy work, for sure. So, get training. It's helpful. If you're looking for training, I do train people in different kinds of energy work. You can always connect with me. There's lots of stuff out there. I do not teach Qigong, but I'm a big fan of Qigong as a way to move energy, especially Mantak Chia's work with sexual Qigong is a great way to circulate the energy. So instead of having to act it out, you can move it through your body. You can utilize it for other things. You can have it, for healing. You can use that for abundance, for actualizing things in your life. Huge fan of Mantak Chia's work. And then, doing other things, you could be, like I was talking about, like I did dance therapy, art therapy. You can use all those energies in those ways. Movement is a great way to move that energy out of your body. Also, big fan of belly dancing. I'm not the best belly dancer, but it's such a great way to activate sexual energy, but also move it so that your body doesn't have to, you don't have to utilize your body as a tool to move that out. And that will also help regulate your nervous system as well. Lots of different movement work as well. Like, I do somatic body work, and I teach somatic movement classes. So those are all helpful as well in order to navigate how to move that energy in your body. And then getting people that you can talk to, whether that's group work, like peer groups on some, sometimes that would be like Sex Addicts Anonymous. That could be one of them. But then also there are just groups of people who maybe want to discuss these things. There's nowadays, like when I was going through it, there wasn't like Facebook and all that stuff out there. So going on to things like Facebook, you're probably going to find groups. I haven't looked it up though, so can't guarantee you that there's groups for hypersexuality, but there probably is something like that out there. And find people that you can be accountable to, whether it's a coach, whether it's me as a sex and intimacy coach, or whether it's your partner or a friend. Having somebody that you can talk with and go, you know what, this week I did this, this, and this. And it's like in different 12-step groups, you'll have somebody who's going to be like, I can't remember the name of that, but they're kind of like your go-to person, like your mentor, your sponsor is what the word is. So yeah, might need somebody like that for accountability. Okay, I'm zooming right along here, guys. So in the instance that you might be like experiencing this in extreme ways and you need to get professional guidance or you need therapy of some sort. So I did talk about EFT, NLP. There's also CBT. And in this case, it's not the CBT for BDSM. This is cognitive behavioral therapy rather than that and balls torture. I won't say that word so I don't get canceled. The other C, the big C. So those cognitive behavioral therapy can help you reframe your thoughts as well. You could also look at psychodynamic therapy to help you with changing your behaviors or understanding the roots of your behavior so that you can change your behavior. I liked Gestalt therapy as well for that. It helped me kind of like work it out and have conversation. Also a really big fan of the work that's family constellations. So you can be able to work that in a group and kind of go back to the trauma that might have created that to begin with. For me, I always like to go back to, was there a trauma? And if there was, can we find a way to move that out of the mind and body and change that in any way? Also doing anything that's mindful-based approaches, things like hypnotherapy, but also different things like doing meditations, that can be so helpful. So, now I'm on my sweat zone because I've got 2 minutes left to tell you guys good stuff. So there's also, I used to work at a holistic metaphysical bookstore and there got like access to so many books, but there was a book by Jon Kabat-Zinn, his work on mindfulness and behavior change. So he has most of his work is related to that. So if you look up Jon Kabat-Zinn, you'll find that pretty much any of his work will help you with being able to change behavior through mindfulness, basically observing yourself and becoming aware of it and then being able to shift that. We also need to create things like boundaries and be really clear with ourselves on our no's and have our own backs on that, and then have other people in our lives who are really good with boundaries too. That's helpful because if you have somebody who will like say no, but, and you're like, okay, so if I come to you and I just want to screw you for my own pleasure and it's like you become my walking vibrator, just say no to me. Like, have a limit with me and then have your own limit with yourself, like choosing not to do that. And then it becomes a conscious choice, and then you have to observe yourself and stick to it, right? Take some self-discipline. Usually self-discipline has gone out the window when this stuff needs to be changed anyway. So also being able to just have that clear, like clarity with yourself, like put away things, like have quiet time, put away the tech, put away all the excessive things that might be stimulating you, like a lot of lighting, and make sure that you've got time in your day to be able to look after you, whether that's doing, take 15 minutes to walk quietly by yourself and have your own sort of things that you do to support your nervous system. Like the other day I spent 3 hours stretching because I needed to do that. And sometimes I will just end up having to like block an entire afternoon off or a weekend off to reset myself.
Thank you for choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinich. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.